This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, and thanks for tuning into the Service Aftermarket's best kept secret to personal networking and joining my mission to advance the aftermarket. Remember, as you elevate yourself, so goes your business. Never stop learning. Be a perpetual student. Hey, enjoy another episode recorded at Apex 2021. And in this episode, you'll hear from three different perspectives: a hands-off visionary owner, his partner and director of operations, and a 26-year-old service director that started as a technician. Find out how these three successful businessmen work cohesively together while continuing to look toward the future. Love this episode. You will love it. I think you'll be inspired. Hey, thanks to our partners Apex and Shopware for providing this episode. Hey, Apex 2021 is in the record books, and Apex did live up to presenting some great leading-edge technology from suppliers, but they did a super job of showcasing the emerging tech of tomorrow. You've got plenty of time to plan for 2022. I'd love to see you there, November 1st through the 2nd, 2022. Apex, now more than ever. When was the last time you heard a customer say, "Thanks for taking my money"? Get Shopware's shop management software, and your customers will be shouting it from the rooftops in overwhelming five-star reviews. Learn more at GetShopware.com. Hey, a warm welcome to three really, well, actually two good friends and one new friend of mine who's here in the studio at Apex 2021. We're inside of Repair Shop HQ right on the edge of Joe's Garage with these eight bays, all this kind of work and stuff. And I think you've heard me talk about that in all the episodes that I've done here. I'm with the guys from Schertz Automotive out in Schertz, Texas. And I'm with Mark Roberts. Hi, Mark.
Howdy, Carm.
Hey, howdy, Carm. Yeah.
Hey, that's Texas. Well, that's Texas A&M, really.
It's really
Texas.
Cool.
Howdy.
We did an episode, I think it was it 2 years ago when you guys were here getting ready? You were so involved in shop number two, right?
Correct.
And I wanted to get on record what you guys were doing. They were at the show buying equipment and stuff like that. And we heard about, you know, the new partnership. John Long is with us. Say hi, John.
Hello, everyone.
Are you the ops guy, partner, president?
I've been the ops guy, for 5-6 years. Actually, probably even longer than that. But officially, yeah, 5-6 years or so.
Got it. I know you were so instrumental. Mark, you're not working anymore. Is that right?
Has he ever worked?
I don't know about that. I don't know you can say that, Carl. That's not fair, really.
That was a question that I wanted to know. Are you down to two days a week? Do you worry about the shop?
No, I definitely do not worry about the shop. But I still work every day. I'm not visible. We'll just say that.
The greatest part of an episode that we did, maybe it was two or three episodes ago, he wanted to be at the business, but they didn't want him to be at the business.
Yeah, doesn't that make you feel good when they just don't want you there?
And so to me, that's something that everyone should aspire. You literally chain the desk to the wall, you remove the seat, you take the phone away, and you kind of send a message to the owner, we got it.
Yeah, first location, he had bought a desk, tried to put it in the break room, and myself and one of our other partners, David, grabbed it while he was taking the cardboard out and put it in the trash can, and we're taking the desk out there with it, and he caught us in the middle of it.
I remember that. I just want a place to put my computer. To me, that was a message that the industry had to hear. We got it. And so if you're listening to this, and you're not the owner, but a trusted number two, do everything you can to put your owner somewhere else who probably is the visionary of the company that's doing a lot of other things, and let the integrators do their job.
Yeah, you know, when I look back on it, I think the best thing you can do as an owner is leave at times. Just leave, because John had just proven over and over again throughout the years. I mean, this just didn't happen in a 1 or 2 year period. This has, you know, been something that's been ongoing for some time. And, you know, he was always just very good about, if I'm gone, don't call me, and, you know, unless the building burns down or something like that, but just take care of the problem or issue or whatever, make a decision, and, you know, ask for forgiveness when I get back or whatever, if there's something. But, you know, he just proven that, You know, he's very capable of making great decisions for the organization. He understands it, you know, the organization.
So another reason that I brought him back into the studio here in Apex 2021 was I wanted to get an update on Store 2, find out if Store 3 and 4 are still in, are ready for the works. And how did that transition go from Store 1 to Store 2? And when I found out they were bringing one of their young team members, Edgar Reyes, service director for shop number 1, And I looked at Edgar, and I had to ask, how old are you, Edgar? Because he actually looks like you're 16. I mean, God bless you. When you get to be 50, you're going to look 20. Trust me. So young. How old are you?
I am 26 years old.
Oh, my, Mark. And a superstar, right?
He's a superstar. He's a very, very sharp young individual with just an incredible amount of potential. And I am so happy that he's on our team, and he's going to be around for a while.
So are you being mentored, Edgar?
Yes, I am. I'm part of a couple of key leader groups through Transformers. Obviously, I have John and Mark to look up to. They're there every day. I can always reach out to them and get great advice. So,
all right. You've just got me right on the edge. Key leadership group with Greg Bunch and his team at Transformers.
Yes, sir.
What are you learning?
Well, first and foremost, that we all deal with the same issues. And it's just a great place to really develop a plan of action or coming up with solutions within your shop. You know, everybody across the country is dealing with technician shortages, day-to-day mundane stuff that arise. Being able to be there and brainstorm with other people who want to bring the industry to the next level and providing some solutions for myself, my team, and even me being able to provide some solutions for them is really a great thing and a great tool.
You sound like you're 39 years old. You've been in the business for 20 years. Jeez. So how'd you stumble on this, guys?
Edgar came to us as a technician at one
even
point.
Even better.
Yep. And he initially wanted to be a shop foreman. But then he, I'll let him tell the story.
To be inspired this young, tell us this. Everybody listen closely, because age has no factor in leadership or success. Listen closely.
Well, the key word here is going to be empowerment, okay? So I come to Schertz Auto Service as a young technician. I am, you know, of course, I'm being pushed to train and do better, get more ASCs, and I love all of that. I love being pushed to do better for myself, which will in turn, you know, we'll be able to do better as a company as a whole. That was already a really big breath of fresh air coming from a big corporate chain that didn't really want you to succeed and do better for yourself. So already having that was already really empowering. Then it gets down to the day-to-day where I see the way the operation is ran, the policies, procedures, the technology that we use, and how it all melts together to provide this you know, unmatched service. It was insane. So, of course, my goal, I was a technician. I had been turning wrenches for a few years. And my goal was be shop foreman. I want to be top dog. I want to be able to help my team better themselves and just, you know, take the shop to the next level, if you will.
I just heard the G word, goals. Was that something you had to be taught, or did you realize if you're going to get anywhere in life, you needed a few of those?
It starts within yourself. That's
did John or Mark help you in any way with that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They helped me develop more goals, but, you know, I feel like most people will set a goal, whatever that goal may be, but don't have a plan of action because they don't know how they're going to achieve that goal. And that's where these two guys came into play. You know, I know that I wanted to learn how to use a picoscope. I wanted to do these other things, but I don't know where I can get a picoscope. I don't know where I can get the classes. I don't know any of those things. They did such a tremendous job of offering those tools and resources to everybody.
You get a picoscope with Mark's American Express card. That's how you get one.
You're joking, but that's how it happened.
Yeah, I just see the invoice after the fact.
Yeah, I'm so damn intuitive, I have to tell you. You know, I just, knowing you guys, I figured, you know, there's nothing that's
going to get in the tools.
Give them the tools, exactly right. Wow.
Yeah, so throughout his coaching sessions, you know, he transitioned saying, hey, you know, I want to be shop foreman, but I think I want to do what you're doing, John. I think I want to put you at home. You don't need to be here. I want to do what you do.
God, he'll be hanging out at your house, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, through his coaching sessions, he made those desires known. So I'm like, okay, well, let's put a plan of action together for you to transition into our office and go that route.
John, did you ever think, I mean, we hear a lot about technicians can't making the swing over to be a service advisor because they become too technical with the customer. Did that happen at all? Were you ever worried about that?
Well, Edgar's role never really was being as a service advisor. You know, we have a kind of a production parts area, and, you know, so that's what he transitioned into, and then it kind of just morphed into him being the store director there. I mean, he's in the couple months that he showed what he could do in that production parts role, and I needed a store director there because we were opening up shop number two, and I needed someone that could be the go-to person and to lead that team. And, you know, just in that short few months, he showed that he was that person.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up, ready for your next store? How about the challenges and successes for you of opening a second location? Well, we talk about it. Carm here. Well, I can't say enough about the quality of instructors and the high level of technical and management training that was offered inside Repair Shop HQ during Apex 2021. Hey, it's in the record books, but the great news is that show organizers for Apex 2022 are hard at work again, assembling the best and the brightest instructors and the most timely and needed training for shop owners and technicians. And now watch for a robust schedule of training and product demos on topics such as engine performance diagnostic strategies, how to be an effective leader, wheel alignment and ADAS calibrations, controller area networks, and using social media to grow your business, just to name a few. With this caliber of training, make sure Apex 2022 is on your calendar. Now that's November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. And together, let's make 2022 the year of growing sales, profits, and productivity for your business. Listen here for more Apex 2022 training and registration information. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. I heard store director. Can you give me an idea of the structure? Do you have a shop foreman? Do you have a service advisor? Tell me how it works.
Yeah, we have the store director is the person that oversees the store. It's like a manager.
Is that the location leader?
Yes,
like
correct.
Dwayne Myers calls it?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's Edgar at one of the locations. You know, then we do have kind of a lead service advisor and other advisors there. You know, we also have what we call a production director that kind of handles the shop workflow. You know, assigning the work to the techs, building the estimates, you know, handling, you know, going through the DBIs and making them look pretty for our customers. That way the advisors can just focus on the customer. Because that's what we want them to do. That's what we hired them to do, is just to focus on the customer. They don't need the mundane tasks of calling around parts vendors and all that. So that's what our production team does.
Anybody else?
And then we have the shop foreman that leads our techs out in the shop.
And you're running the whole company?
Yes.
For Mark?
Yes.
All right, but
yes.
You got to be so proud of this.
I am. I'm very proud of him. You know, John's just done a fantastic job of introducing some different technologies that we use to streamline our business and stuff. And he's done a very good job of instituting SOPs and coming up with goals and plans and stuff. And I think even when he named Edgar as service director, he wasn't really named service director right off the bat. He was named service director in training.
Yes.
And so he had to prove that. And then the staff basically had to approve his advancement to having the in training part removed and just be named store director.
And so tell me about it, Edgar. Little, no pressure, right?
Not a whole lot, right? It's not a difficult task to earn the stamp of approval from your team if you're doing things right. And I'm, you know, it's been beat over my head time and time again. It's people. We take care of people, whether it be our teammates. First and foremost, my main job as a service director is to take care of my teammates. And my teammates will take care of my clients. And it's a never-ending circle. Our clients will take care of our company, right? They keep coming back. They keep spending money. Really being able to build those relationships with my team, being able to understand what their needs and wants are, and being able to fulfill them in those needs and wants. And if I'm able to provide that along with going above and beyond what we can do as a company for them, you know, it's really easy to manage people.
Have you gone to any leadership classes or read any leadership books?
A lot, yes. You can't not do that.
Well, when you're 50, you're going to have read 1,000 books?
Well, that's the goal. That number might be a bit short. I can't expect my team to grow and better themselves if I'm not willing to do it first.
John, take us back to the day that you interviewed Edgar. What did you see in him?
You know, it was myself and David are the partner, you know, that interviewed him. You know, we needed a technician at the time, obviously, as almost everybody does. You know, we saw the desire, we saw the wants, you know, to be better in himself. And he was kind of, like you said himself, he was stuck in a corporate level machine. And, you know, that's what we don't want as our shop. We don't want the people in it as cogs. You know, we want them as people. And we saw the desire of Edgar to be a person. It was shortly after that, you know, we made him an offer and he interviewed. Then he called back and said, I'm not sure I can come. You know, I've got, you know, some things that I don't know. It's kind of a far drive, and I just don't know. I don't know if I'm ready, you know, to make that commitment. And so we had to talk him through, and I had to convince him that if you want to be a person, this is the right place for you to be.
You think he was selling you a bill of goods?
I think he was selling himself short. After being there,
you're
for
good.
Some years.
You could take over for me someday. I'm telling you.
Hey, don't be recruiting. We're gonna have to end this right now.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
But you know, Carb. You know, going back to that training and going back to the book reading. You know, I still gotta, you know, give John some kudos. John has done a great job. We have a library of books at the shops. And we've got a program that John's developed and stuff that, you know, you check out a book. And because we require you to do ongoing training, and you have so many hours. And, you know, the way he's done it is you know, if a book is X number of pages, that counts for so many hours of training or minutes of training or whatever. And so you actually go check out a book. You just do an online request that, hey, I'm going to get this book. And then he's also instituted to where we can do audiobooks now also, and then they can get training. And so, you know, I look at that and think about my days back when I was a collision tech. I listened to a book a day, you know, and it was on everything, leadership, on family values, on how to deal with teenagers or how to be a better husband or, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And I literally would listen to a book a day while I was working on cars. And, you know, so the stuff that John has done has just been incredible for growth potential for all of our people. And we're seeing people checking out more books and reading more books. And those are all wins. And he's just made it very easy for them to do that. And we pick up the cost of pretty much everything.
Trying to go back to the memories that I've had doing these interviews with you guys. And to, you know your background, Mark, it's very diverse, entrepreneurial. You know, I'd love to know what you're into now, but it was house buildings, bank directors. I mean, you know, automotive shop. You brought on John. You looked at, well, partnerships with you and Dave, and you did the second story. It seems like you are, Mark, naturally born to build and develop leaders, because as I look at Edgar, he just seems to fit this most incredible mold that you've developed.
Well, that's all John. I can't take credit for Edgar. That's all John.
If you didn't do to John what John is doing to Edgar,
yeah.
And I don't mean doing to, you know what I'm saying? Just right. Exemplary, hey, this is how we do what we do. You know, this is how we treat people, treat customers, read these leadership books. And frankly, to get a 26-year-old involved in coaching, pay attention, everyone who's listening. You know, it's like, well, I can't afford to hire a coach. I can't pay this kind of money. I can't send anybody to training. Stop the nonsense. Right.
Carm, we're doing coaching for our shop. Foremans, they're in coaching groups. John's in a coaching group. I'm the only one that's probably not in a coaching group at this point, for now. That's probably going to change a little bit as we move forward. But really, it's, you know, when I think back and I think about one of the funnest, enjoyable times was when John and I officed together before we built the last new shop and stuff, and we officed together for probably, what, a year and a half?
Yeah, about a year and a half, I think it was.
Just enjoyed it. And it was just fun.
I mean, we're side by side, 3 feet apart. It was a pretty small office, so, I mean, yeah we're right there every day, day in and day out.
Well, there's an indicator. You like each other, you get along, you have the same values, same goals.
Oh, I wouldn't say we've always got along. There's been friction there at times, but it's good friction.
But it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we may have disagreed on stuff. But the thing I value and appreciate about John, and I've shared this with Edgar, is that when he disagrees with something, he's just very honest with me about it, or he thinks I need to be doing something else. He's just honest about it. And some of the questions, you know, he says, hey, this is a tough one for me to be even asking this. And I'm like, no, bring it. You know, that's what I value and appreciate is, you know, you just, you know, we put it out there. And yeah, some of them are tough. There is just a lot of value. And then having somebody that's either going to point out something, or, you know, maybe it's a shortcoming. You know, we all have blind spots. We all have spots that maybe we're not doing what we need to do.
Yeah. Edgar, let me go back to you again. I said about maybe 5 minutes ago about being a tech, being on the service counter, and the time you spent doing that. Did you find yourself overcomplicating it to the customer because of all that you knew about tab A and a slot B?
That goes back to training. Even when I was working as a technician, we had a trainer go out and do sales training, and the whole shop was involved, including technicians.
Now, that's smart.
Right. And, of course, you store that and you file that away in your brain, and you forget some of it. You remember some of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the times that I have had to be in the front counter, I bring that training out, and I remind myself, hey, you were a technician. You can get really technical really fast. I have to be very conscious of the words I'm using and how I'm presenting jobs and presenting the inspection report to a customer. And that's just really a little bit of a battle, but it's not too bad.
So when you were on here, I think it was 2 years ago, you were really excited about store number two. I know if anyone goes back, types in shirts in my search bar, listen to that episode. I can't remember how detailed you went, Mark, but you know, the struggle you had with the town. To me, this was probably one of the worst episodes of trying to build a second store from ground up because of environment and government involvement and permits and all that stuff. I don't want to go back into it, but I know it's behind you. But, you know, sometimes there's always the rest of the story to be told. And I just wanted to set that up and say, so you opened, you put the key in the door. How long has it been?
It's been a year.
Just over a year.
September 1st.
And when you opened up on day one, did you do that $100,000 that you were thinking of doing?
Well, I'll let John talk about that a little bit.
It was August 31st, 2020 was our first day in business.
Right in the middle of COVID.
Yes. That was a little scary to begin with. But that first month, I'd say we're pretty successful. I think it was 130,000 is what we did that first month.
Sorry, I guessed light. How do you go from zero to 130? How did you market? But what'd you do?
Well, I think that, you know, part of that is we are in a community that we already have one shop in there. So we already had brand recognition there. We had been advertising months before that because we obviously thought we were going to open months before we did. So we did have a lot of stuff out there. But I think it just really goes back to we're very involved in the community there. Or I say I am. That's probably my prominent job is, you know, I'm the one that's at all the chamber events. I'm the ones that does all the events at night and stuff. And they run all day today. That helped tremendously. And we already had an incredible customer base in that area when we looked at did heat maps of all of our customers and stuff. So where we actually placed this new shop was in an area that we already had customers that we felt like, hey, we could pull some from the other location, and then it would free up base space in that location to go out and get new customers. So we did rob a little bit of business, but not much.
I was going to ask
that. Not much at all.
When I looked at numbers, I think it was probably a little bit less than 10% is all we robbed.
And an opportunity to grow that back.
Yes.
I'm sure you did.
Oh, yes. We have.
How cool.
Yeah. So, and I absolutely love walking in that shop every day. It's just it's such a beautiful shop.
Did you build your first one from scratch?
Yes. I've built all of them from scratch.
Okay. And you, because you're a builder. And what kind of modifications were in store two that you said, ooh, we could do this better or different?
Just a very different layout. You know, store one is long, single bay and entry from one side. Store number two is you enter bays from both sides. We made the shop a little bit wider. We have a nice walkway down the center so we can take customers in there and stuff. And it's, you don't have toolboxes in the way or anything like that. Store number three is going to be that same layout, maybe not a little bit smaller scale. That store number two is about 10,000 square feet. Store number three is probably going to be somewhere around 7,500. That's the plan right now. So we're working through finalizing the plan stuff. I've already bought the real estate stuff. So I'm just waiting for the sticker shock of what it's going to cost.
This is so cool. Every time I do an episode with you, there's another store to talk about.
Yeah, I need to be careful about that.
Well, actually, there's even one more on top of that.
There's probably two more on top of that.
Yeah.
But that's a super secret. We can't tell anybody about
it. I wouldn't say so.
Cool.
We have another building that I own, another building that we really want to do a European shop. I've got a
tenant behind store number two.
Yeah. And I have a tenant in there that's got two more one-year leases. So unless I harass them enough. What I'm not looking forward to is I got to go through the same city and it's not zoned properly and I've got to get special use permits and figure that's going to take a year to get that anyway.
And that's why I'm pushing him to do that now so we can be ready to go once that time comes when that tenant leaves the building. Smart.
I can't stand talking to John every time because every time he's just pushing me.
John, what were the challenges that you discovered from being a single store guy to a two store?
Not knowing what you don't know. And that goes back to it. You know,
but wait a minute. You guys were super, you know, procedures, ops. You had that all down. But
Mostly.
See? And that's the real world, guys. Right. I it was perfect. No, it's never perfect. So don't be afraid to grow, the point is if you got your first house in order, the second one will never be perfect, but it'll be a whole lot smoother than if you didn't.
Yeah, and I think that you know, we talked about what we felt the challenges were going to be going into it. Hey, what are we missing? Where do we feel like we're, you know, stuff's going to fall through the cracks and stuff, and then what are we going to do to mitigate those? And obviously there was stuff that we either didn't plan for or didn't think about. And I always knew that, you know, opening that second location or growing that second location was going to be probably the toughest to be able to do that, just from a staffing standpoint, from an expense standpoint, everything. And, you know, I think store number three is going to be a little easier as we move along. And obviously there's probably stuff, you know, we wrote a whole bunch of notes on when we opened the store number two and some of the challenges that we had, and it could be equipment needs, it could be anything, or things we just didn't think about. You know, it's what we didn't know.
You don't know what's around the next corner until you get there.
Yeah, and one of the things for me that I didn't know that I think kind of hurt us this year as a company overall was at two locations, I didn't think I needed kind of an extra floater technician. But then when I sat down and looked at all the numbers of kind of what I call our PTO liability is, what we could have out through how many hours a technician could be out throughout the year, it was over 1,200 hours. A technician at one of the locations could be out. That's over half the year that someone is going to be out at one location. I'm like, what an idiot I am for not looking at that sooner and hiring that person. Because we had a technician that left. He got called up for guard duty at our new location. So that put them shorthanded as it was already, and we never really filled that location or that technician spot just because we kind of didn't know when he was going to be back, and I didn't want to fill it because we wanted him back in there. And then when somebody went on vacation or took PTO, that put that short store even further behind, and it created a bottleneck. And that's one of the things that I didn't know, and that hurt us.
By the way, you look 10 years younger without your beard.
Thank you, Carm. But you know, Carm, let me point out something I think is really cool, too. So this technician that he's talking about that was out, that got called up, he's been called up three times this year already. And so, but here's another young guy that even though he's been called up, this guy has been going and doing online training and getting ASC certifications and stuff while he's called up. Because when he comes back, he just say, I want to be ready and just I want to have these certifications behind me and stuff. And, you know, he doesn't want to be called up, but he's, you know, he's there to serve.
So I tell the story over and over again. On an episode that we did, John, part of the culture of your business, I'll never forget, you were telling us about, here's a technician who needed to go to son's event at 3 o'clock. He had to fly somewhere. Remember you telling me about somebody, he had to fly to see his family or something. And you said, we'll do whatever it takes for our people. And you said, the principle is if no one dies, let's do this.
Right.
I've told that story over and over again. And that is, you know, you can have policy, but you can also have a heart.
Right.
And that's, I think, so critical about your company that I loved in the story that, you know, when somebody's struggling about it, I says, did anybody die? That's from Mark Roberts. And I says, and that's how you should look at some of the challenges that we have. And think about how a team pulls together when somebody can't be there. And all of a sudden you look back and says, wow, I can't believe we got through it. Record day. We're all happy. And we all pitch together. And to me, that's the culture and team. So
it is.
Congrats to you guys for doing that. Edgar, in your new position, have you come up with any new creative, great ideas that will help the company?
Where do you want to start?
So, how did I know that? Huh? Just give us one or two.
So, the thing to keep in mind is that there's a lot of people out there wrecking their brain for what's the next big thing, but maybe the next big thing is to figure out exactly what you have and make it work even better. So a lot of it is building new inspection sheets that will flow better for the technicians and cut their time in the inspection, get their feedback, figure out where we need to go and what we need to do. A lot of the recruiting stuff, we want to start a training sort of center within our facility for the shops that operate in our area. We have very knowledgeable technicians within our ranks that need to have a little bit of a soapbox to stand on and teach other technicians, young technicians, what they know. I want to provide that for them. Within that, we're able to have them network with other technicians in other shops. It builds up our shops because now other people know what we have to offer. They know the brains that we have in our operation. They get to see our facility. They get to spend time with our people, and they get to know us. And then phones start ringing. People want to work for us, and it'd be a win-win situation.
I don't know. I'm just so impressed. You know, wow, what a huge member of the team. Do you know that when you teach, you learn?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. So please remember, remind yourself, this guy is 26 years old. I'm so impressed. Wow. Thanks for the update. Store number 2, store number 3, store number 4. You know, we'll just keep doing these updates. Keep bringing in this incredible talent that you guys are hiring. I so appreciate you coming on. Any final words, Mark?
No, thank you for having us. It's always enjoyable when we talk to you, and we always learn something when we come to these events. And I am grateful for the team that we have and partner that I have and the things I get to do.
What do you think of this whole event here, this Repair Shop HQ Joe's Garage? What do you think of this venue?
I love all these events. You always learn something. There's always something new. You know, it's extremely valuable to get out of your shop and come to these. And, you know, whether it's, you know, you just find some little small tool that you don't know about. You know, Edgar was just telling us about a tool that he found that he goes, hey, I want to look at this a little bit more. And, you know, and I think that's where the value, I've always felt like that's where there's a lot of value in coming to these events because there's, you know, we all see the big stuff that everybody's doing and stuff. And it's this little guy that's tucked away in a corner because that's all he could afford for a booth. And he's got some little new tool that they've developed and stuff. And it's, you know, you go by and you have it. And then, you know, 5 years later, Snap-on or Mac or somebody else, hey, I got this new tool. I'm like, oh, we bought that 5 years ago, dude. You know, for about a fifth of the price, too, probably.
You're staying on the cutting edge. Yeah. And how you stay on the cutting edge is you go to events like this. Did you go to any training, Edgar?
Yes, we went to a class yesterday, right? Was it yesterday?
Tuesday.
We went to a class Tuesday. We have another session to attend this afternoon.
Okay, what time, what did you take, what was the class about Tuesday?
Building teamwork, No, bettering communication and building teamwork.
Wow. Who was the trainer?
Cecil Bull.
Cecil great.
Yeah.
I know Cecil well. And what are you taking today?
Excellence is a habit.
Malin Newton.
Yep.
And let me say, I thought he may have said I would have taken a technical one, but obviously you've graduated from that. Wow. Leadership class is great. John Long. Edgar Reyes.
Yes, sir.
And Mark Roberts. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you, Carm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.